Today we're going to have a brief class about the menorah. The third reading of Parshas Truma opens via Sisa Meneda. You will fashion a menorah, a candelabra, and it will be made of Zohav Tohir, of the purest gold. The Torah says that this menorah is miksha. This menorah has to be formed by virtue of hammering. Te'osa ha-menorah, that's a menorah, will be formed or made. Yerecha v'kono, from its stem, through its branches, givieha, its goblets, kaftoireha, its spheres, apple-like spheres, as we will learn, ufrocheha, and its flowers, its filigree. Mimena yihiyu, all of this should be from it, meaning from the same ingot of gold, as we will hear in Rashi. Well, let's go straight to Rashi and take a look at chapter 25, verse 31. Miksha te'ose ha-menoida. The menoida will be made by hammering rather than by putting the pieces together. Rashi says, shalo ya'aseh nechulyus. You're not going to make this as individual pieces. V'lo ya'aseh koneho v'nedeseho v'evoreho. You do not make the individual branches and the lamps, and then later solder or attach them as is the way of goldsmiths. That's not the way this is going to be made. Shakurdin, and Rashi gives us an old French word, soldures, like solders or something. Ella rather, Kula ba mechaticha achas. It all comes from one ingot, from one block of gold. Umakish bekurnis, and the person who is supposed to make this menorah will hammer away with a small goldsmithy kind of tool. Vechoisech bechli ha'umanus, he will separate with a sculpting tool the different parts of the menorah. Umafrid hakonim eilech ve'eilech, he will allow the image of the menorah to be released from a single piece of gold. As Rashi says, the word miksha, miksha means that it's hammered of a single piece, of a single ingot. Targumei, the Targum renders it negid lashon hamshacha. Negid means to draw forth. And in other words, the menorah is drawn out of a single block of gold. That is to say, that the branches of the menorah Arkam mamshech es ha'ivarim. He takes the branches, he draws the branches forth, min ha'eshes, from that ingot, lekan o lekan, in either direction, b'hakoshas hakurnus, by continually hammering away at this block. The lashon miksha, the Rashi says the terminology miksha does not really mean to draw forth, but rather it means hammered. It comes from the word literally kosha, which means hard, and you hammer away with great force. Makas kurnas, this is the blow of a small hammer. And we get another French word here. Batidits, I don't know. That means hammering. Kamoi, for example, we find in the book of Daniel when the knees of Belshazzar, who is the heir to the throne of Nebuchadnezzar, are knocking together. He sees the proverbial writing on the wall and his knees are knocking together. And the expression is Dol don nokshon. Even though Daniel is not written in Hebrew but the Aramaic, we can often draw comparisons. We can compare and juxtapose the words to one another. And there we see his knees are knocking together. So over there, his knees are not being nimshach. They're not drawn from one another. So it's clear the word nokshon would have to have the terminology of banging or hammering or being knocked. Teyasa ha-menorah. This is odd. Because teyasa doesn't mean you should make. It means it shall be made. It shall be made. What do you mean it shall be made? Who's going to make it? So Rashi acknowledges that the word te'oseh shall be made, or the menorah gets made, me'eleha. It kind of indicates that the menorah made itself or somehow was formed. It was formed, not that somebody actually worked on making it. And Rashi tells us here, quoting a Medrash Tanchuma, Lefi shehaya Moshe miskasheba. Moshe was really encountering difficulty in trying to see and understand how the menorah would be made. It's a very ornate an intricate kind of artifact. Omar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Almighty God said to Moshe, Hashlech es hakikar la'or, you throw that giant ingot of gold into fire, into a smelting fire, v'hi na'aseh smeyaleha, and it will emerge. And lekach, that's why, lo nichtav ta'aseh, it doesn't say the word ta'aseh, which is the typical terminology that is used throughout Parshas Truma, which indicates you should make, emphasis on you doing it, you making it, but rather it says, te'aseh. Te'aseh means it shall be formed. Why? Because it was formed. That's what happened, actually.
Was there any work done on the menorah by human beings?
I believe that elsewhere it says that Moshe hammered away kind of blindly, and then the menorah emerged. Through this ingot of gold, and was hammering and hammering, you know, I don't know if indiscriminately, but like somewhat hammering, and, you know, out of the hammering out came the menorah. Rashi doesn't mention that here, though. Yerecha. Yerecha means, it's, according to Rashi, haregel shalmata. This refers, according to Rashi, to its stem, or to its base. Ha'asik min teva, which was made, and Rashi's terminology is like a box, although the Rambam clearly draws a sphere, a half circle. So it doesn't mean it isn't like a box, but it sounds like it was actually hollow. Or if not hollow, it had this, a very, very large kind of base, a heavy base, whereas the rest of the menorah was much thinner. Vishlesha regolim yetzin himeno, from that stem that come out of the bottom, there are three small feet of the menorah on which it stands on the ground, and the Rambam actually in his picture draws the three little stems on the bottom. So if Yerecha means its stem, or Yerecha means its base, then the question is, what is the meaning of Vekono? So Rashi says, if the idea of the Yerech is the Regel Shalmata, or the base, so then the Kono means the stem, or the central shaft. HaKono ha'emtzoi shalo, ha'oilo be'emtza ha'yerech. This is the middle staff, the middle stem, which is Zokif klapi ma'ilo, which is perfectly facing up. Ve'olov ne'ere emtzoi, osu kimin vozach. On top of that, there is a lamp. The lamp is made like a small container, a small bowl, and it's made for the purpose of litzuik Hashem and l'teiche, to fill it with oil that will be kindled. The loseis hapsila, and into that bowl or into that container, the wick is placed. And what are gvieha? What are these goblets? So Rashi says, him kimin koiseis sha'isim mizchuchav. These are like crystal goblets. These are aruchim uktzorim. They are long and narrow. The koiron lehem, and they're called in Old French, medirnas. Now these are not made of crystal. The elu asuyim mizav. They're all made of gold. Everything's made of gold. It's made of a single ingot. Ubeltim v'yetzim mikol kona v'kona. These goblets appear in every single one of the branches. And they look kaminyan shenasan v'hamakosav. They appear in the number that the scripture gives for them, which are three such goblets on every one of the branches, on each of the six branches. And then there are four on the central stem. And Rashi says, v'lehoyu ba ela l'noi. And if you will ask, what is the purpose of these goblets? So Rashi says they were only ornamental. They entirely for ornamental purposes. They served no practical use. Kafteireha, spheres, kimin tapuchim. Like apples, agulim saviv, like round apples. Boltim sevive sakona hemtsoi, these protrude down the middle branch, the middle stem. Kederech sha'oisin l'menoiras sh'lefnei ha'sorim, in the way that these beautiful candelabras are made in amongst officers, nobility. The koidon lehem, Rashi gives us another French word, famels. Minyan shalehem, the number of them is kosova parsha. We'll say as we continue the parsha. Kama chaftoirim biltim meno, how many of these spheres were there, appeared on the menorah? The kama cholok, and how much of the menorahs was, the branches, was actually smooth. Bein kafta le kafta, between knob or sphere and sphere. Uprochea, it's filigree, or its flowers. Rashi says, Tsuyurim Asuyimba. These were these almost like a picture, something beautiful, like a beautiful little filigree, Kimim Prachim, that were kind of flower like. And all of this, branches and lamps, goblets and spheres, filigree like flowers, Mimena Yir. Hakoil Miksha. All of that's got to be hammered out. Yotzei mitoich chatichas ha'eshas. All of it emerges from that single ingot. V'la ye'asa levadam. Do not fashion them individually. V'yadbikem. And later solder or attach them. And then the Torah begins now to speak about what the candelabra will look like. We hear in verse 32 that v'shisha konim yetzim mitzideha. There will be six branches that will extend diagonally from its two sides. Shloisha knei amenorah mitzida, three of the branches of the candelabra on one side. Veshloishes knei amenorah mitzida hasheni, and three of the branches will extend diagonally from the other side. Rashi says very clear they were angular. And of course, that's the picture the Rambam draws. Shloisha gvim mishukadim bekona ha'echad. There are three of these goblets that are inlaid or engraved on each of these different branches. Kafter vaferach. Each one has a knob, these spheres, and it has a flower. Veshloisha gviim, and then there are another three goblets, mishukodim, which are engraved, bekone ha'echad, on the next branch, kafter vaferach. Each one has the sphere and the flower. Kein l'sheishas hakonim, so it is for all six branches hayetzim min hamenorah that stretch forth or that draw forth from the menorah. Uva menorah, and in the menorah itself, meaning here the menorah, when you say uva menorah, we're talking about the stem of the candelabra from which the branches come. So uva menorah are bogvim. There are four of these goblets, mishukodim, all of which are engraved, kaftereho, ufracheho, their spheres and their flowers. All right, so what purpose does the candelabra serve? Purposes of illumination. What kind of illumination? Lest you think that it serves the purpose of illuminating this large area which has no windows. Think again. Our sages tell us that the menorah represents the notion of light, the light of Torah, the light of the Shekhinah, the light that comes forth to the whole world. And what purpose do all of the different details on the menorah serve? Rashi was very clear. It's all ornamental. Obviously, spheres are not useful. It's just a circular shape. That has to be ornamental. Obviously, flowers are not ornamental. Even real flowers don't really serve a purpose. So what is the purpose of these cups? If you say the word cups or goblets and you're speaking about a candelabra, one would naturally think that's the place where oil goes. Or maybe the oil is caught if it spills over. But the Rashi is very clear about this, that they were only there for ornamental purposes. And here, we're going to see something fascinating in the Biurei HaChumash. This is number Chav Beis, the 22nd entry in the Parsha of Truma. The Rebbe notes that there is a tziur, a famous drawing, a handwritten manuscript drawing of the Rambam. And in that drawing, Mefiim Hagviim Betzura Hafucha, the goblets, which the Rambam depicts as triangles, show up upside down. Upside down. Pihem harachav, the wide part, the mouth of the goblet, which is symbolized by the triangle, is mufne klape mata, faces down. Ve'ilu shuleyam hatzarim, the narrow bottom that Rashi described, klape maila, is facing up. The Rebbe says, from here it is clear, the ladas harambam, that according to the opinion of the Rambam, kach ochen oitzvei hagvim v'menorah. This is exactly how the goblets showed up on the menorah. Upside down goblets. And the Rebbe says, Tzarech bir, this needs to be explained. The Chumash does not say if they're right side up or upside down. Rashi does tell us that they serve purely ornamental purposes, so the notion of them being right side up to catch oil that would maybe flow over and then kind of go or fall down the branches and then get caught in the cups is definitely, from Rashi's perspective, not an option. The truth is, and if it would catch the oil, what would happen then? Would just like fill up with oil. How would you get it? How do you get the oil out of there? Especially when the diagonal branches. But at any rate, Rashi is very clear and he says they serve purely ornamental purposes. Okay. But if it's ornamental purposes, why would they be upside down? And you're going to say, so what's wrong if it's upside down? Well, the thing is this. When it comes to mitzvahs, we always use things right side up. In fact, if one takes a lulav upside down, if one even holds the esrog upside down, he didn't fulfill the mitzvah. It has to be held derech gidilasan. It has to be held the way it grows. It has to be held right side up because you do a mitzvah. You don't do mitzvahs upside down. And because mitzvahs have to be done right side up, the fact that the Rambam chose to draw it upside down is very compelling and actually quite puzzling. Now, there are those who maintain that the Rambam drew this sketch in very haste, in great haste. He himself says it's not perfectly symmetrical, and it isn't. And some even want to say that that's the Rambam. The fact that Rambam makes a diagonal is just because he drew it in haste. But that's foolish, because the Rambam had a compass. And the easiest thing to do is to draw six branches with a compass. And actually would have been perfectly aligned. But instead the Rambam drew it with a ruler. When it's a ruler, it's not perfectly aligned. Because a compass, which people had compasses then. Compasses make perfect half circles. But when you have to do angular things, we don't have compasses, don't make perfect angles. But the thing is this, the Rambam drew all of these cups upside down. Every one of them. And it's just as easy to draw it right side up. And from the fact that he pointedly drew them down, it clearly seems to indicate that the Rambam believed they were upside down. So the question, of course, is why? And nobody explains this. In fact, to the best of my knowledge, nobody ever even talked about it until the Rebbe came along. The Rebbe would notice all these things that nobody else noticed. All these things that everybody kind of glossed over and like, well, that's fascinating. A drawing of the Rambam, very nice. Let's move on. There's one second. Let's take a look here. The fact that the Rambam says they were angular fits perfectly with Rashi's interpretation, who uses the word ba'alachson, which means on an angle, not round. So the Rebbe suggests that the detail of the upside-down cups could be explained with the windows in the Beis HaMikdash. We have this idea that there was chaloines, that there was windows that were built into the Beis HaMikdash. Now, generally, windows are rechovim klapei pnim. They get wider towards the inside. And the reason is the purpose of a window is to allow light inside. Kadei sheha'or hanichneses darkom yispashet b'chol chol lachedes, so that the light that comes in will be able to fill the room. In other words, you get maximum potential out of the window. Hachaleinus shebeheichol, but the windows in the Beis HaMikdash, in sharp contrast, were shkufim atumim, were very narrow on the inside and very wide on the outside, which means they had a lot of exposure to the sunlight, very little exposure of sunlight actually being allowed in. Kotzar mibifnim, very narrow on the inside, umarchev v'hoylich l'tzad chutz, but continually widening towards the outside. And this was, says the Medrash, and our sages explain this, that's the Gemara Menachas and Daf Pevav, this was for the purpose, that represented the paradigm of shetehe oira yoytza mehechol shetor le'olam, that the Heichel was not built as a place to contain light, but the Heichel, the Beis HaMikdash, was built as a place to spread light, shed light, share light, send light. It was all about sending light hours. This was the global source of illumination. In other words, the chaloines shebeheichel le'noyaduk de lahachna serpnima. They were not fashioned to allow light in, ela lehepech. It was so that the light in the Heichel should go out. And that's why the windows are built in that fashion. You know which other windows are built in that fashion? On forts.
The skylights.
Skylights usually.
Well, exactly. The skylights are wider on the inside. The exact point that's being made. But you know where they're narrow on the inside and wide on the outside? On forts. For shooting, because you don't want things to get in, because that wall is built to make sure nothing gets in, but that the projectiles get out. So here, it's built to allow light out. There's no shooting going on, no bows and arrows there. And the Rebbe says, since this is obviously not literal, this is figurative, it's emblematic of what the Beis HaMikdash represents. Because of this, we can say the same thing with regard to the cups, the goblets of the menorah. It's explained in Mefarshim, like Rabbeinu Bechaya, Rikanti, and others, shetafkid maruchni shel gvi ha-menorah, that the spiritual purpose or the paradigm of these goblets were lahashkos laharvis ha-sa'olam. What do you do with glasses? What do you do with cups? You drink. So this was about drinking or giving the world to drink, but not physical water or any kind of liquid, but rather to share light, to share photons, spiritual photons with the world, from the higher world. The menorah is almost, as the, like Ricanti says, almost a mechanism, a connecting mechanism to a higher reality. And through the menorah, the menorah comes a fulcrum, a diffusion point through which light diffuses out to the world. And therefore, it makes perfect sense that I've suggested that the goblets would be upside down. If the menorah is to give the world light, to suffice light to the world, so then the cups should be upside down as if to indicate that the light is being made or kindled, so in order that the light flowed downward and outward. And this is, of course, very different than the walls of the Mishkan, which were not made in log cab fashion. It would have been the easy way to make them. Instead, they're made upright with multiple methods of lashing them together so that they don't collapse. Why? Why? Because I have to be derech gilulan, because I have to be like a lulav, upright, like an esrog, upright. But the thing is this, the walls are made to contain the holiness. The menorah was made to project the holiness. So the walls made to contain are upright. They're about creating the sacred space, a sacred scrimmage. Whereas the menorah, whose paradigm is to shed light, would have the goblets upside down in sharp contrast to everything else in Yiddishkeit, in which we use for a mitzvah things right side up. The menorah, as a paradigm of sharing, of shedding light, would have the cups represented as such, facing upside down. And now we know why the menorah is upside down. We have a beautiful lesson for all of us who are supposed to be a light unto the nations, proverbially speaking, just as the menorah served in antiquity.